Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Lovely to have you back here with us this week. I'm joined, as always, by Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com. How are you, Tim Schwartz?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Stephen?
I'm good. You weren't well with you weren't well last week. You weren't well with us either last week. In fact, you were overall unwell. But are you okay now? Are you all right? There was a
2-day period or so there where I was definitely not well. I will save our wonderful listeners from the horrific details, but it was unpleasantness for a couple days. I'm not quite sure what happened, but it's better now, thankfully, so I am back.
See, the thing is, I've got my button handy here, so just in case you were going to start getting into it, I just said, emails, Andy's here, it's fine, email Andy. It'll cover the emails, just in case we have to live with the horror that was your 2 days.
I didn't want to live with it. I'm not going to make anybody else have to.
Are you okay now? That's the question.
I am well now, yes.
Okay, that's good. Emails, Andy's back with us. Hello, emails, Andy.
Hello. Oh, it's my walk-on music.
That's your walk-on, yeah, exactly. And your walk-off as well, depending on how the show goes. And we've got a special guest back with us. Robin is not with us this week. He's on holiday. Why is he not on holiday? Every time I turn around, this guy's on holiday. That's the joy of being a lord. You can just go on holiday, you know. He's probably got a castle somewhere some other lord has given him. You know, that's how it tends to go. Anyway, Sean Preece is with us this week, not a lord. In fact, he'd be very much the clown jester, I believe, in a castle. Hi, Sean.
I don't know why I come back here. It's like, I'm like the substitute teacher. What's going on? It's good to be here.
It's lovely to have you here. It is.
He says under duress, awkwardly to a camera somewhere.
Yes.
It is good to be here. I am safe. Blink twice if you need help. Yeah.
Not in a blind room, though. That's never going to work. You have to come up with something else. Yeah, exactly. Yes, you need to come up with something else. We have got a lot to talk about this week on the show. I'll be honest, I say that, and then I think, you know, we're going to read a lot of the emails out this week, because although there's a lot of news stories doing the rounds, I think we'll touch on some of those. But I think, you know, we also want to get into the emails this week because we get so many. Some voicemails this week as well. We have got a special feature. We're going to be hearing from Holly Chook, who is one of the hosts of the Happy Hour show here on RNIB Connect Radio. Holly and Polina both put together the Happy Hour, which goes out here on RNIB Connect Radio, but also as a podcast as well. We'll give you the details on how to get that a bit later. But we're going to hear from Holly today because she did an app review on the Happy Hour, and like the vulture that I am, I said, hey, could we get a bit of that as well? Could we get a bit of the older appage over here? So appage is coming this way. That's a technical term, by the way. And yes, we are going
It is now.
And,
is that Apple trademark that you've stolen?
I've just taken that, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they were planning to use it, but if they were, you know, speak to my lawyers. That's what I'll say. So yes, we will be hearing all about the Oak app, which Sean thinks is hilarious when I say Oak, O-A-K,
I love it.
Oak app. It's all about meditation, guys. It's all about chilling out. Something I think we could all do with.
What is it about meditation apps and their names that you just can't say, Stephen?
Yeah, exactly. Why is it they name things I can't say, like Calm? That sounds perfectly normal to me. Calm.
For the listeners. Yeah, Calm.
Thank you.
Calm.
And Oak.
Yuck. Yeah, no, that's perfect. I like it.
So yeah, we're going to get into all of that today. Yeah, I think we'll all need some headspace after this show, to be honest. So yeah, this might not be a bad idea. We're also going to hear a report, or about a report later, from Ofcom. Those are the kind of government regulatory people who, you know, listen to shows like this and wonder if it's worth broadcasting. So if this show makes it on air, you know they're happy with it. And that means that it's past their standards. Which shows you how low they are. But yes, we're going to get into an interesting report a bit later. This is the last show, incidentally. Or it will be by the end of this comment. But no, these guys have put together a report into a screen time, how much time we are spending on our screens, in particular during the pandemic, which I think it's fair to say we know the answer to this one, right? We've just been watching more and more telly. We've been watching more and more TV, more stuff on our phones. And that's no different to blind people, is it? I mean, I think a lot of people think blind people, we just listen to audio all the time. That's not always the case, right, Tim? I mean, you're a TV watcher. You like your Your show's meant... Okay, you're totally blind, so you're listening to it, but you're still getting the content, right?
Absolutely, and more content is described nowadays, so I can tap into a lot of content and actually understand what's going on without having to bug my wife to say, what's going on? What happened? Of course, there are those things that are not described, and so that's a bummer, but she is there to help me. But yeah, I mean, there's so much great content out there. I even had somebody recently, because most things, of course, on YouTube are not described, and I've heard somebody recently say, well, why would blind people watch YouTube? I'm like, well, I can still listen to the content and still get something from it. Just because there may be visuals doesn't mean that I can't actually garner something from it. So I get stuck in the YouTube cesspool, you know.
I know, going down the drain
further and further, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I said it here on this show, but I certainly have mentioned it before that I gave up my Facebook app. I just got rid of it.
Yep.
And it's only because of the fact that I was meeting my mum on a morning. We were going to the shops and it was 10 o'clock in the morning. She was picking me up and I got up about 8 and I sat on my phone for, I would swear to you, I'd been on that phone for like 20 minutes max. And she calls me. Well, she calls me up and she says, right, you ready to go? Because I'm outside. And I'm going, you're outside? It's 10 o'clock you're picking me up. She's like, yeah, because it's 10 o'clock. I'd been sitting there that whole time. And it was actually Facebook Watch, where you go into a video, and then a video starts, and then the next one plays, and the next one plays. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
It's like crack. You cannot put it down. I don't know what the thing is with that. And you did the right thing by getting... It's so tricky, though, isn't it? Because, you know, do you want to give up Facebook because it's good to see what people are doing and people contact you through it? But at the same time, you can waste a whole day just watching clips of South Park and the IT Crowd that are like 3 minutes long, but they just automatically go to the next one, and you just sit there zombified and take it all in. It's amazing. Screen time is an issue, but I do think that people make slightly too much of it. I think it's not all frivolous. I think there's a lot of educational stuff on there. There's a lot of information on there, just like reading a magazine or a newspaper. And I don't get too hung up on people that say, "Oh, everyone's spending far too much time in front of their phones." It's not necessarily a bad thing.
I agree. I think there's tons of educational content, especially within those videos I watch of people fighting outside a Glasgow fish and chip shop. I find that really, really educational. What it does, it teaches me never to go near a fish and chip shop on a Friday night in Glasgow. That's for sure.
Hey, I started that fight because he said he wasn't a fan of tech talk, so I had to.
Well done. Well done, sir. Well done. Defend our honour.
Well, someone has to, I suppose. What about you, Andy? You a bit of a... Are you hooked into this? Because I know you tend to spend a lot of time in your computer. Obviously working most of the time, but you're also spending a lot of time. You get hooked on these other websites.
Yeah. Yeah, in reply to the Facebook Watch thing, right, I'm the same as you. I'm trying to get off of Facebook. Don't, as an alternative, get TikTok.
No.
Because that's worse. That's just video after video, and it picks up on your algorithm or what videos you watch and which ones you don't. And yeah, you will be there for hours upon hours. You'll just start taking the phone around the house with you just to watch it. No, stay off of that. But with screen time, yeah, it's my life is just entirely about screens now. I go from working and sitting in front of my dual monitors. When I'm bored and get fed up of that, I go in front of the television, so a slightly larger screen. When the thing that's on the larger screen isn't, you know, grabbing my attention, then I grab hold of the smaller screen, my smartphone. Start watching things on that. It's only when I'm the only time I'm not in front of a screen is when I'm asleep or in the shower.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not trying hard enough, are you?
No, I'm not trying hard enough.
Phones are waterproof. No, but listen, I don't know if you want to get into this story now, but I'm on one. So, but why are people saying, you know, why would someone be more happy with you with your nose in a book rather than your nose in front of a screen? Do you know what I mean? There's not necessarily any difference there if you're still consuming content, right? But people are far more, they take it easier on people that, they're reading a book. You know, that's okay. But if you're in front of a phone, then apparently that's not. I don't know. I just think there's a bit of this technology is necessarily bad argument to this.
Well, let's bring up the story actually, because we are going to talk about it today. No, let's do it. Let's talk about it because I want to bring this up. This is a report from Cara Kennedy, who's got in touch to share this story with us here on Tech Talk this week.
A new report from Ofcom has found that in 2020, UK adults spent nearly a third of their waking hours watching TV and streaming services. The highest growth was found by Netflix and Amazon Prime Video, who saw their screen time close to double in the last year to 1 hour and 5 minutes per person per day. For the first time ever, more UK households now have a Netflix subscription than a TV satellite or cable. Ofcom found that our viewing habits have changed during lockdown, with younger people preferring streaming platforms to traditional TV. Some 29 of the 30 most watched titles on subscription services were on Netflix, including Bridgerton, The Dig, Behind Her Eyes and Fate, The Wind Saga. Elsewhere, YouTube has remained the most popular video service, with its users spending an estimated 41 minutes per day on its channels. However, TikTok has also seen a massive rise in popularity, with an estimated 31% of adult internet users using the app by March 2021. Other findings in the report were that half of UK adults now claim to have a smart speaker in their homes. Music streaming, however, did not appear to benefit from the lockdown, with streaming numbers remaining steady, while the number of those listening to podcasts slowed, likely because fewer people had been commuting in the last year. So, with lockdown restrictions now fully eased, will the UK's streaming screen time continue to rise? And if so, what does this mean for the future of terrestrial television?
Cara Kennedy with that report. That's quite interesting, actually. Podcast listening slowed. Music didn't really benefit from, you know, an upsurge in listening. That's interesting. So more people were watching TV film content, I guess. That seems to be the overall view. I wonder if that's the same if you did that report. And that was obviously an overall report, right? That was just a general report that was written and created for Ofcom by their own researchers. But I wonder what would happen if you only surveyed blind people. Wonder what that result would be then.
Yeah.
I think that'd be quite different. I think podcast listening would be up. I'm not sure about music streaming, but certainly podcast listening, live online listening, YouTube probably. I mean, I think when you break it down by age, I think all that makes sense to me. That is perfectly sensible. The younger ones are going to go towards YouTube and streaming services. I think as younger people come into this, you know, world, they're not going to be bothering with linear TV. They're going to go straight to you know, on-demand services. I think in the future, we'll see a decline in the amount of linear TV. You know, the day that BBC One stops broadcasting, I think, is in my lifetime, honestly.
Yeah, I can't wait. No, honestly, terrestrial TV is dead. My kids, I say kids, now they're 25 and 22, but they've never really watched TV. Mm. Everything is off a tablet or a smartphone or off their computers. It's just a screen, and the actual terrestrial TV has absolutely no interest to them. And I think, you know, I don't think that's unusual. I think that's the trend now.
Yeah.
And I think, Stephen, the point that you made about if that survey was done with blind people, I agree with you. I think the podcasts would be at minimum just steady, if not higher. And music streaming, yeah, perhaps. But I think what has happened here is the people sitting at home on the couch, you know, or, you know, in a computer chair or what have you, you know, just sitting at home, for whatever reason, they're not playing as much music. You know, they could play them over, you know, one of their smart home devices or something, but they're not. They're just looking for content to consume, something to entertain, maybe something to perk them up, you know, help them, you know, be a little happier through, you know, what we've gone through this last year and a half. And so they're looking towards that kind of entertaining content. Not that podcasts can't be entertaining. I mean, we try. But yeah, for whatever reason, podcasts, and I would have thought podcasts would have gone up a little bit, but at the same time, I think about it, you know, my podcast consumption this last year or so has gone down probably as well. So yeah, I've spent a lot more time on Netflix and Disney Plus and Prime Video and all those, especially, like I said before, YouTube. I get trapped there every day, and 40 minutes, as she said in the report, wow, I wish I was only spending 40 minutes a day on YouTube. Yeah. maybe 4 hours in 40 minutes, eight hours in 40 minutes. I don't know. So I would agree with you that I think amongst blind people, it's probably gone up across the board.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Well, thanks to Cara Kennedy for that report. Certainly a very interesting conversation for us to kick off with this week. We weren't intending to kick off with that one, but there you go. We go right into it. And it's because it is affecting a lot of us. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks around our kids and how much time they spend on these devices. Of course, that's why.
Well, I'm serious. Not enough. There's nothing wrong in your kids consuming content.
It's what the content is.
It's what the content is. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But well, yeah, we have just to, because they're in front of it doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
Well, yeah, and we do that with our daughter. We have her with an iPad, and we make sure to use the built-in controls to make sure that she has only certain content accessible to her, only certain times a day, so she can't, you know, lay in her bed at night and, you know, try to stay awake watching, you know, whatever the newest K-pop video is that she wants to watch.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, you don't want to know. Trust me. If you never, ever hear, after I say BTS, if you never hear that again, you'll be a lucky man.
But kids. I don't have the problem of knowing or caring what these things are. I don't have kids.
Right, well,
me.
There's that. But no, yeah, I mean, if you're, especially as a parent with a young child, it does depend on what the content is and how you're, you know, kind of monitoring that. But yeah, I mean, it can be bad. It can be very bad. But
look, you know, I'm joking around a bit here, but you know, if I had a kid, I mean, how old is Alyssa now?
She just turned nine.
She's just turned nine, right? If I had a kid at 9 years old right now, I'd be terrified because the world of the internet, I mean, but honestly, I'm being serious. The world of the internet is a scary place. And as a parent, Tim, you must have to be constantly, and you're lucky because you are up on your technology and you know what you're looking for and you know how to manage the settings of the devices to make sure that your kid is safe. Yes. Yeah, exactly. But a lot of parents don't have a clue. And a lot of kids benefit from that lack of knowledge because then they can do what they like online. And that's why there's been so much talk in the news recently about, you know, privacy and concerns around privacy. Of course, the big news about Apple we talked about last week. You know, the concerns that people have around, you know, Apple sort of digging into people's privacy. But it's all about looking after our kids. And I think for a lot of parents who don't know how this technology works, and, you know, you could, and people have said to me, and I always find it quite insulting when someone says to me, yeah, and of course, if you're a blind parent, you won't have a clue. And I'm thinking, most of the blind parents I know more than most of the sighted parents I know.
Yep.
Because we have to know. We have to know this stuff. We have to know how our devices work. And that means you have a better understanding of the system. Whereas if you just use your phone for calls and that's it, then you won't have a clue of all the features that are in there that can protect your kids. But it is a minefield at the minute. And I think, you know, and all joking aside, you must be worried about, you know, your kid online. You must be worried about Alyssa being online at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, like I said, we have everything on lockdown. Excuse me. You know, I have her own profile on our home PC so that she has to log in with a passcode. And it's her content. It's her apps, her games. And things are limited. Same thing, like I said, with her iPad. Thankfully, the parental controls are really good. They're easily accessible for a parent and easy to understand. And you can turn off individual apps. You can limit certain things, limit content, explicit content, all that kind of thing. So if you do dive into it, it's not scary, thankfully, as a parent. And it's easy to make sure to monitor and make sure what your child is doing or make sure what they are not doing, probably more importantly. And it can be daunting. It can be scary. But you know, there are those times too where you have to put your foot down. There's a few apps and games that she wants to get into, and we're like, no, you're still too young for that content. You're still too young for the possibilities of what those apps might be. There's free-for-alls in there where we don't know who could be coming in and chatting with you and saying things. And we trust her, and she's very responsible, mature, you know, child for 9 years old. But at the same time, we have to draw a line as parents. So yeah, being aware of that and knowing how it works and knowing what's out there, I mean, that's half the battle.
Well, let's talk about phones.
News from the internet.
Well, this is kind of getting ahead of ourselves on the news front because, you know, we know last week that Samsung announced in their Unpacked event a couple of new phones and some new watches. The new watch and the watch classic. Watch 4, isn't it? And the watch 4 classic.
Galaxy Watch, yeah.
Yes, that's right. So the Samsung bringing that out. This is with the new operating system called One UI. I am very interested to know how the accessibility is going to work on this, because I think they might have finally got the power behind it and indeed an operating system that will make accessibility for reals on the, that's the kids' terms.
You're so down
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm talking to the Fonz.
Exactly.
That's amazing. You're so cool.
At the same age the Fonz is today, exactly.
As my daughter would say to you, as she has said to me, don't, just don't.
No, exactly. That's right. That's right. See, that's, that can be the embarrassing. I don't even have a sister or a brother. I can annoy that my nephew or nieces. I can't even do that. But I do have goddaughters, and I irritate them a lot with all this kind of
really?
Chat. Yes, who'd have thought?
I'm so surprised. Yeah.
But no, but of course, you know, Samsung APAC did see some new phones. I think, if I'm honest, most of us look at these folding phones and think, yeah, okay, fine, but. You know, are we really going to be going down that route? I think most of us are looking at other devices that are coming down the pike. iPhone 13 could be next month. Certainly, that's the suggestion by all the people who, you know about these things, or at least pretend to know about these things. Possibly an iPhone 13's coming next month. There's a Pixel 6 due out. There's even talk of was there a Pixel phone due, I think, today, as this airs. I think actually there was a Pixel phone. It's not no news as yet, but there was talk of a new Pixel phone just dropping. So you never know. It may have happened by the time this airs. And if so, we'll talk about it next week. But yeah, interesting. But the Pixel 6 is definitely coming with this new Tensor chip. Everyone's very excited about that. The first time that Google have gone down the route of making their own processors for their phones. So that'll be interesting. And Samsung, although they've just unpacked the folding phones, there might be some other devices on the way. So let's talk about some of these. So iPhone 13. Now, look, I'll tell you how excited I am about the iPhone 13, guys. Arriving possibly any minute now is an iPhone SE. I'm going back in time. Yeah, I've decided I'm not waiting for an iPhone 13. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting a 2020 iPhone SE, guys, because I love Touch ID. I love it. I love it. I love it. Mwah! I love Touch ID.
Okay, calm down. Firstly, I love Touch ID. You are crazy. What do we always say? When someone buys a new Apple device in August, when you know next month, they're going to have an event and they're going to
They're never
going to
bring an iPhone SE 2. They're not going to do it. It was like, what, 4 years between the original SE and the SE 2?
They probably won't. But who knows with Apple? You don't know. But why would you take that risk? You don't know what's coming. In just 4 weeks, there could be something even better. And yet, you do it now. It's ridiculous. Tim, tell him.
I would love to tell him because, yeah, I mean, I bought the SE last year when it came out. And I kind of regret it. I mean, the price point was great and the features are great, but I kind of wish I had waited.
Come on, Tim.
But I'm still going to hold on to it at least another year because I'm hopeful that the rumors that eventually we'll get Touch ID under the screen along with Face ID, that will be a thing, if not this year, maybe next year. And when that happens, then I will dump my iPhone SE 2020 and get whatever the newest phone is at that time. So hopefully this year, but for my pocketbook sake and my wife's approval
sake.
Your wife
won't let you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really the bigger one, is that hopefully it'll be next year and I can swap out for that Touch ID. But yeah, no, I understand. I like Touch ID. I enjoy a Touch ID. I don't know. I just don't have a problem with it. I think it works well.
What do you enjoy about it? That's a weird
phrase. It's quick. It's easy. It's simple.
Easy. So I'm sitting here, I've got my iPhone, I don't have the SE yet, it's due to arrive. In fact, I'm told it will arrive today, it was due to arrive tomorrow, but you know, Apple and I are doing next day. So, I mean, come on, hello. So I'm on there and I'm like, okay, fine. So I hit the button on it and I get it. Also, by the way, ordered some of those Beats Studio Buds because I've broken or lost all of my AirPods in one way or another, or they've been broken, and I just, you know, it's like you've got to go to the store to get them replaced. Who's got time for that? So I was like, right, forget
everybody.
It. Yeah, exactly. I should go in and get them fixed, but I'm just like, oh, I can't be bothered. And I actually quite like these because they're red. I love the colour red. It's the only colour I can see, which makes no sense to me at all, but it is. So, you know,
it's
red.
It look like your ears are bleeding.
That's
I don't
right.
like it.
I don't think anyone looks at my ears or indeed my face, so I wouldn't worry about it. But no, this is interesting. So I've got the iPhone 7 here. This is my RNIB phone. This is a standard issue RNIB phone, and I love it. And what happened was the other day, it was a great example of this. I was out the other day. I'd had to go back into the office. We're still all working from home at the moment, but we're gradually moving back to the office. And I had to go back in to do some techie bits. You know, they call me in to, you know, update the computers and, you know, fix things, and I, you know, I just kind of pretend I know what I'm doing, and got through my whole career doing that. But you know, I go in, and what happens is I leave my iPhone 12 mini, which I've got currently, that's my sort of daily driver, if you like, my own phone. I leave that at home. I forget about it. I left on the charger, and I was halfway out, and I thought, oh, I've left my phone. I will say, first off, leaving your phone anywhere is an absolute nightmare. I mean, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was quite upset because what I couldn't do when I got to my office, because I can't do this at home, is I couldn't order a, let's just say, a fast food delivery because I couldn't remember my Uber Eats password. And I couldn't remember.
Guess it,
and
which
I,
place that is.
you can choose to guess where that place is. I couldn't possibly say it starts with M. But
that's the first thing you mentioned when you... He spoke on the phone that day, and he's, I'm distraught.
So irritated.
I couldn't have my McDonald's breakfast.
Oh, I was distraught. Other fast food restaurants are available, if you so desire. But, yeah, I mean, I was so upset about it. I really was. And I was like, oh, my God. So I can't get my fast food delivery sent to the office. That's irritating. And I couldn't even log in, because I was thinking, well, my password's in my Apple ID, so I'll just sign in. Oh, no, wait, because I've got two-factor authentication, I don't have another device. So I can't say, hey, could you, you know.
No. Who leaves their phone? I mean, I know. That's the first thing you do. Check. Wallet. Well, it used to be wallet and watch or whatever, but now it's just phone. That's all you need.
Well, if I had my watch, it would probably been okay. I didn't even have my watch on. That was even worse. I could have even had that. But anyway, so the point is, I had to spend the whole day with the iPhone 7. Now, that's not a problem, right? But what it made me realise was how much I loved the iPhone 7, especially out and about. Mm-hmm. And I loved the Touch ID. I didn't have to worry about the whole Face ID thing, which, by the way, is so hit and miss with the face mask thing.
No.
It's just a nightmare. It's Can't fine. Be bothered with it. So, no. I mean, I know it's supposed to work, but, you know.
And it does.
Maybe it's... I mean, I hate to say this, Stephen, but... Maybe it's not the tech.
Hang on. Is it Tim's last show? Nobody told me.
He's blaming your face.
Are you saying my face is too large for the sensor?
Tact. My wife has an iPhone 12 and her Face ID works well. I'll just...
Is that changing tack? Right, okay.
That is changing tack,
interesting.
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, I've decided to go down the route of the iPhone SE because I love my Touch ID. And as much as I love my iPhone 12 mini, I'm not loving it as much as I love the iPhone 7, which is, sounds bizarre. So that's why I think
I'm
the SE will be
it.
Great. Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Let it go.
Oh,
let
don't
go.
You just love Justin Timberlake and all the songs he sings? Wow. Right, okay. Well, we're not obviously... well, as you say, Tim, you're looking forward to getting the workaround here by getting the Touch ID under the screen. Hopefully, that's going to come out in the iPhone 13. We don't know. There's talk not of a new, happen. More affordable iPhone 13 mini. I'll admit... This article from, I have no idea where this is from because I can't see the where it's coming from, but this particular article I think is talking nonsense because I've heard no one talk about a Mini. In fact, if anything, I think the Mini is out and the SE is in. The SE has been a bigger seller than the Mini has. And I think iPhone 12, iPhone 12 Pro series really have done well, very well, but not the Mini, so I don't know if we'll see an iPhone 13 Mini.
Why is that, though? What do you, I mean, I haven't used one, so what do you think about the Mini? You say it's your daily driver, it's your main device, but why is that? Because you do have the 12 Pro as well, do you?
I've got the 12 Pro Max, which I got.
Oh, sorry.
Well, yeah, and I love the iPhone 12 Pro Max, but I use it as my, if you like, my test device, because to be honest, I got this at the very beginning. Well, when did it come out? Probably just... Well, during the pandemic, didn't it? Came out in the middle of it. So I guess I felt I can use that at home for different things and that's fine. And I'm running my betas on it and it's good for that. But I wouldn't use this out and about. It's just too big and heavy, to be honest. That's the issue. Now, the Mini is a great size. But I find this all glass front thing just a bit of a nightmare. You touch even the wrong, you know, just one bit of the screen. I've got the big finger, fat finger problem, you know. So, you know, I pick up the phone and I'm pressing the screen all over the place. I don't have that problem with the iPhone 7 because you have that little bit of a bevel around it. And obviously you have the same at the top and the bottom. It just seems easier to use and not make mistakes with. So...
Really?
Yeah, I'm finding that.
I mean, the screen is locked most of the time, so when you're handling the phone, yeah, I don't find I have any fake touches with a fuller screen face.
I'll also say that
face.
The problem with the front and back being glass, and I don't know if that's the case with the SE, Tim, you can tell me, but I don't know if it's the same on the SE, but on this phone, I find I'm always tapping away at the screen going, nothing's happening. Oh, hang on. It's the wrong way around. So I'm tapping away on the back of the...
camera should give it away.
Well, yeah, but you're not running your hand all over the thing. You know, you're just putting your... Well, okay, fair enough. But yeah, the iPhone 12 Pro Max...
I have a case on mine to make sure to tell me which is the back and which is the front.
Well, that's the other way of doing it, obviously, yeah. But so we'll see what happens. iPhone 13 is due out possibly September time. I'm going to predict the 14th. I'm putting that out there. I'm just going to say the 14th of September is going to be the next Apple event. There, I said it.
I say the 13th.
Well, they usually do it on a Tuesday, right? So it's either going to be the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, or the whatever the one after that is, 28th. No. So... yeah, I'm saying
I'm
the 14th.
I'm predicting, Stephen. Don't poo-poo my prediction. I'm saying the 13th.
I'm saying you're wrong.
Because of the iPhone 13. Well, we will see, sir, won't we?
13th on the 13th?
That's not going to happen.
Yes, it will.
That's ridiculous. Like we all thought that Apple Glass would come out in 2020. Because,
exactly,
well,
yes.
2020. They got the last laugh on that one.
Yeah. I must admit, I think maybe other things got in the way of that. But, you know, 2020 wasn't the best year.
Yeah, just something... No big deal. Something kind of got in the way.
Other things kind of got in. Everyone's working from home, you know, couldn't do it. Anyway, Samsung are also planning to bring out a new phone, the Galaxy 22 series. It's not expected till next year. Usually it appears around February or March, so that's when we'll likely see it next year. Not many rumours about it, but of course we do know that the Galaxy Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3 foldable phones are out. But there are some suggestions that there are changes coming to Samsung's high-end phone. Like the iPhone, it's likely that the S22 upgrades will be more focused around the camera, with teases from Samsung's own social accounts hinting at a whopping, wait for this, 200-megapixel image sensor. I mean, come on. Apparently, that's the highest resolution that we have ever seen on a phone, and it will go, apparently, a long way to improving on those huge 30x and 100x zoom images you can take currently on the Galaxy S21 Ultra. Wow. I mean, for us, I think that's probably pointless. Is there any value in that for a blind person?
Think of the OCR, the small print.
No, yeah,
there
possibly.
is no possible use for this for us above any other camera. And to be honest, once we got to a certain level a couple of years ago where it's not so much the resolution of the sensor anymore, it's more the computational processing that they do with those images that makes the difference. That's not to say, I mean, Samsung are with the S21 when they did the whole, what do they call it, space zoom or whatever it was. I mean, it was amazing, but it was pretty much, as soon as you zoomed in 100x, it was pretty much like viewing it through a potato again. It wasn't great, you know, so perhaps that's what they're
aiming
for.
Viewing it through a potato?
I believe that's the technical term, yes.
Right, for who?
It says it right on the box, a technical spec.
It's written right on there.
As viewed through a potato.
How do you see through a potato? Are potatoes see-through now? Things have changed.
Slice them thin. Yes.
Looking through the eye of the potato. Anyway.
That was well bad, done.
Yeah, anyway. I suppose that's, unless that's the closest we're going to get on that one.
Unless you are highly interested in photography and you know, photos and videos constantly and all that, you know, and there are people, of course, with low vision or even totally blind that do have an interest in that. But for the most part, yeah, you're right. This is not going to affect OCR. It's not going to make it any better. We're at a pretty good place with OCR and detection of images and everything else like that. So I don't know if there's any functional benefit to this in that respect. But yeah, for high-end photography and videos, I think it'll be fantastic.
And photography is the same for the Google Pixel 6 line that got an early reveal this month, in fact. They have confirmed a new design that showcases a camera bar along the back. So not a block like you get on the iPhone 12 or the 12 Pros, but you get it as a big bar on the top.
Fantastic.
I don't know if that's a good thing. I mean, it just means you're going to buy a case for it, doesn't it?
No, I always hate the iPhone, right, where it's all about the design. And then you put it down on the table and it rocks around like a ridiculous thing. It's such a terrible design, that. And to have a camera bar going straight across the back makes more sense. It's going to sit on a table better. And that's the most important thing for me, how it sits on the table.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree with you. But they're going to break from their tradition of doing a base and an XL model. This time the Pixel 6 will be joined by the, wait for it, Pixel 6 Pro. The latter will include a telephoto lens. Hoorah. So, yeah, more good stuff on cameras. But I think, if I'm
You're
honest...
You're struggling here, Stephen.
Well, there is one thing in particular about this phone that does appeal, and this is this custom-made Tensor system on a chip, exactly what Apple have done with the M1. So rather than using one from Qualcomm, as they have done on previous handsets, Google are now going to be using their own Tensor processor, which includes speech recognition, live translation and photography enhancements. This might be more useful to us, if I'm honest, long term, because you're going to have lots more capability of the device itself. And to me, this is kind of where it's like you were talking about computation and, you know, the software with the camera being great, but it's what the actual system can do with it and how quickly it can do it. I think that is where this device will shine. Also, the Pixel 6 will be the first or among the first devices running the latest Android 12, which is due to show up soon as well. There's all kinds of stuff on here. Apparently, Google's phones will include the option to create an entire interface theme based on the dominant colours of the image you choose for your background wallpaper. That level of customization will extend across a new design language called Google, which Google calls Material U. Okay, whatever. But I am quite intrigued by the power of the Tensor chip in that one, that's for sure. And speaking of Samsung, the Galaxy S21 FE is likely the fan edition will turn up again. That's the lower priced version, which, you know, could arrive even later this year or perhaps early next year, depending. But guaranteed these will all be out in the next 12 months. So we shall see what comes. Oh, and yes, the Microsoft Surface Duo 2. If you really don't care about phones, you're going to love this one. The dual screen device is coming back. I'll be honest, this thing came out and I thought, this is a complete waste of time. And I'm still not entirely convinced. Nobody seems massively excited about this. To me, Microsoft are just doing what Microsoft do, which is show what's possible and then let the market decide the rest. But
it's
yeah.
a beautiful design. But
is it?
I mean, yeah, it is. But the thing is, I don't think anyone's sure the use of folding screens, two screens and things like that. I don't think the use case has been really nailed down.
No, I don't think
so.
No
one's sure what the point of it, apart from being able to watch YouTube or Netflix in a bigger screen.
While shooting your emails. Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, you can do two things at once, but yeah, I don't know. I think we're all watching enough screens. That's the problem.
The only thing I could think of is watching videos on one with the comments scrolling on the bottom.
Nobody
playing
cares
a,
about that. Playing, who cares? Well, they keep showing that. Nobody cares.
You go
cares.
Ask your daughters and ask my daughter, and if she could have one screen where she's playing a game or watching a video or whatever and talking with her friends on the second screen, you know, and chatting about it, that to the kids today, I could see that being appealing and useful to,
those
to us old
pesky
folkies.
Kids.
No.
Well,
get off my lawn.
That's the news. The news is we're all old and children will rule the world and no more
news.
Than us. Yeah, I think we kind of figured that one out ages ago. Right, look, let's talk about relaxing. Let's talk about meditation. We're going to hear about a wonderful new app from Holly Chook, host or co-host, I should say, of the Happy Hour with Polina Kohorev here on RNIB Connect Radio. Holly's here to tell us all about the Oak app.
Oak is a free meditation and mindfulness app available on iOS. There's no sign up required. Once you download the app, you can just get started straight away. It promises to help you decompress and live a more mindful life. Oak is suitable for anyone as there are both guided and unguided meditations. There's also a range of breathing and sleep exercises as well. Plus, it also tracks your progress. So let's explore the app.
Oak. Oak. Quick launch. Meditate session. Mindful. 10 minutes. Button.
When you open the app, it comes up with various meditations that you can choose from, but there are three tabs which are located at the bottom of the screen.
Tab bar. Selected. Home. Tab. Courses. Tab. Growth. Tab. 3 of 3.
I think the growth tab is really interesting, so let's explore this one.
Settings. Button.
At the top, there is a settings menu.
Settings. Close. Button. Reminders. Button.
One of my favourite features about Oak is that it actually gives you daily reminders. So it will remind you to take a moment to breathe, or give you a daily meditation reminder.
Apple Health. Switch button. Off. Double tap to toggle setting.
You can also link it with Apple Health if you'd like to.
Restore purchases. Terms of service. Contact. Privacy. Acknowledgement. ID. Version. 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 Close. Settings. Close. Earned badge. Earned badge. Grasshopper. Next badge. 5 sessions. Adjustable.
At the very top of the growth tab is an option where you can set the duration for when you want to earn badges. In this case, it's set to 5 sessions. I think this is a really good incentive for you to keep up with the meditation. And as you go along, you earn rewards. So it just gives you that bit more motivation to actually do it if you're a bit like me and don't do it as often as you should. But let's go back to the main homepage.
Tab bar, home, tab. Quick launch, meditate session, mindful, 10 minutes, button.
So at the very top, there's a quick mindfulness meditation. But let's see what other content there is.
Meditate. Great for beginners and experts alike. Learn mindful and loving kindness meditation. Mindful, button. Loving kindness, button. Unguided, button. Breathe. Powerful breathing exercises to help you to relax and achieve a clear state of mind. Deep calm, button. Box, button. Awake, button. Sleep. Wind down and fall asleep with our nature sounds and guided courses. Relaxing sounds, button. Guided breath, button.
There's something for every part of the day, really. So I'm interested in doing some mindfulness. Let's have a look at a meditation.
Mindful, button. Duration, 10 minutes, button.
I think one of the really good things about Oak is that you can actually change the duration of the meditation. So this one is set to 10 minutes, but let's see what other durations there are.
10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, cancel, button.
I'll stick with the 10-minute one for now.
New to meditation, duration, instructor, female, button.
There's also a choice of a male or a female instructor. When exploring Oak, one of the things that really interested me was how you could have background noises whilst meditating. This is something I've never come across in any other mindfulness and meditation apps before. So you can have the choice of relaxing sounds whilst you meditate if that helps you to get in the zone and relax.
Warm up, none. Background, none. Button, back, button. Sounds, selected, none. Cave water, clarity, elevate. Fireplace, rain. Roof rain, soft rain. Stream, Tibetan Om. Waterfall, white noise. Wood sauna, back, button. Background, new to mind, new, durate, instructor, female. Back, warm up, none. Begin meditation. Button. Alert. Background sound. You can choose a background sound like rain or white noise to play during your guided meditation.
Again, it's asking me if I would like a background noise. I'm going to leave that off for now.
Choose sound. Not now. Button. But close. Button.
You can begin by taking a seat. You can pick your favorite chair or just sit cross-legged on a cushion. Let's take a moment to release any unwanted tension. You can do this by rolling out your neck in a circular motion. Also, make sure to check for any tightness that might be hiding in your jaw or shoulders. And if you find any, just go ahead and release it, softening that area. Now that you're ready to settle in, find a starting position where you're sitting upright and alert, but without being too rigid. Your chest should be open and your shoulders relaxed. Go ahead and place your hands in a comfortable position. They can be folded in front of you or on your legs. Now close your eyes.
I think the background noise would be really good when you're solely focusing on the meditation. Now, one thing I did notice is that you can't close the meditation once you get started. It basically wants you to complete it. I think my favourite things about the app is that you can track your progress. It gives you daily reminders. And you can customise the meditation. It's simple to use, easy and intuitive. So that was a quick demonstration of Oak, a free and accessible mindfulness and meditation app.
Thank you, Holly. And you can catch Holly and Polina on the Happy Hour. You can get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or check out our website for all the times that the show is aired here on RNIB Connect Radio. You can search for on our website for the schedule by going to rnibconnectradio.org.uk. There you go, guys. I'll tell you one way to stop the app. Throw the phone out the window. That's a guaranteed way to stop any app from functioning, and indeed your phone.
Now, can I just say, that was a great demo, right? But does anyone else find themselves getting annoyed by these kind of apps? I get so angry when I hear someone say, and just relax. And it drives me absolutely crazy.
Sean, do you need to talk to someone?
No,
can I suggest something? So. Can I suggest something?
Yes.
Maybe you should just relax.
Right, stop it. I did.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
We'll get plenty of them now.
Here's your mail today.
That's why we bring them on, you see. We know it'll cause trouble and then we'll get more emails. That's great. Right, let's get to the email inbox. And Andy, what's in the inbox today?
I think I'm going to take inspiration from that meditation app, you know. I think she had a good style, you know. I should, before I start all of the emails, just start saying, yeah. Right, now sit cross-legged on a cushion.
I can't, I'm too old.
You might have tightness in your jaw.
Sean often does with shouting.
Hi, gang. I thought I'd give you my insight on accessing RNIB talking books on Lady A, which I was so excited about, says our friend Kelly. After listening to Tech Talk and Hannah giving a beautiful presentation, I had the link to the RNIB reading account, which I've already been registered. First of all, it was a doddle. When you link Lady A into an account with another organisation, sometimes it isn't as simple, but linking her to the RNIB reading account was really simple. All I had to do was give my email address, the password, and that was it. I asked her to open RNIB Talking Books and played around with it, and I was blown away. Although I use EasyReader on my iPhone, that can be such a pain, but accessing the service using her, who is my best friend, it has made a huge difference. Knowing that I can access the service on my iPhone or by using the service through Amazon Music means I no longer need to use EasyReader. We have waited for this service for a long time and it has finally happened. Now, the next bit is actually addressed to Robin, who's unfortunately not here. But anyway, Robin, when you do your next... Oh, no, hang on. Kelly's talking about the Echo Show podcast. We don't need to talk about that.
No.
Anyway, I love my talking books.
He's
I can't
even
hear it.
I am. Hello.
Sean's on that one, yeah, but yeah, we can just skip past that, yeah.
Sorry, Kelly. Robin's not here today. Well, anyway, that's it for me now. All the best. That's from Kelly in Loxwood.
Yeah, lots of comments about the talking book skill from RNIB and the Lady A skill that you can get. Peter's also been in touch. He sent us this voicemail.
Hi, Tech Talk team. It's Peter from Robin Hood County, hoping you're all well. Thank you for the informative shows and especially last week's. I'm really glad that the RNIB and Amazon have got together to provide us with this skill. Of course, I'm in there, already set up. Thanks to help from Rachel at RNIB Help Desk, or Helpline, and also to my other half, Elaine, for setting it all up. It was a piece of cake. This is to do, Stephen, not to eat.
Okay.
And I've downloaded my first book, so I can reread all the books I've wanted to read again. So... thank you very much, RNIB. I'm sure it's nice for them to get a thanks on some occasions. Like every organisation, they do some good and they do some bad. So if there are any doubters, it'll be nice to hear from you and then we can put things right if you're not happy. Just quickly on another topic, there were contributions about the app Just Press Record. So what does it sound like, guys? Could you send a voicemail in so that we can hear it and... see how it all works. Well, I know how Just Press Record works, but I'm sticking to Apple. Anyway, thanks again, guys, and thanks again to RNIB. It's not often you say thanks to them, is it? But they do help a lot. Take care. Bye for now. From Peter in Robin Hood County.
Thank you, Peter. There you go. Praise for the RNIB. You should have a celebration.
No, it's good. Gotta say,
about time.
I've been using that skill, and yeah, it's just really good. It just works really well. And I'm not usually one who takes the time out to read or listen to audiobooks, but there's something about having it there. You know, I've got so many echoes. I've got an echo in every room, so it sort of follows me around when I want to listen. And yeah, it just works, and I really like it.
Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, you know me and my track record on audiobooks. I mean, I last 5 minutes and then I'm sleeping. And that's whether or not I'm standing up or lying down. But yeah, I did. I mean, I'll say one thing. I mean, I am still the same when it comes to books, and I do want to get more books. I think the one thing about this is I kind of, and I know this is probably controversial to say, especially here, but I think it's just as easy as the Audible. And I think that's the great thing about it. It's exactly the same level of ability and ease of access. And like Kelly said, you know, being able to link up the account, I was amazed how quick it was. I was just like, bang, I was in. Because, of course, my password is in my iCloud keychain. So as soon as I go in on my app, you know, and it asks me to sign in, it just automatically autofills the information. It uses Face ID or Touch ID, the future on the iPhone SE coming soon. I'm so excited. But, you know, I think it's great. I just love how quick and easy it was. And I was listening to a book within minutes. I mean, if even that, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited about what is going to come. And, of course, people always say, well, what about this and what about that? But I think that's a mark of a good skill or a good app, is that now we're thinking, okay, what else can it do? But, you know, ultimately, does it deliver the book? Yes. Is the book stuttering all over the place or falling apart? No. It sounds great. Yeah. You would kind of, you know, I feel it's just the same as I would receive from an Audible service. And I think that's the highest praise I can give it. So, no, I think it's brilliant. And we're getting quite a few comments on this one, Andy, aren't we?
Yeah, this next one's more directed at you, though, Stephen. Hi, Stephen and all. I heard your programme on Tuesday, the 3rd of August, and I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to listening to my audiobooks on my Lady A. Stephen, I heard you saying that you enjoyed crime thriller books. Mm-hmm. So do I. And some of my favourite authors are Simon Koenig, Lee Child, Stephen Leather, and Michael Connelly. Take a listen to some of them books. I'm sure you'll enjoy them. That is an email from Karen in Stoke-on-Trent.
Thank you, Karen. Michael Connelly, brother of Billy O'Brien. I'll leave that with you.
Please don't. Going by this.
Lee Child, amazing range of books. Is it Jack Reacher books? Love them. And yeah, there's quite a few on there. Last time I checked for, because you can just say list books by Lee Child and you get a whole list there. I think there was at least 20 of them. They're amazing.
Yeah, and what I love as well is that since this new, I can't speak to what the RNIB have done here with this, but the technology behind it, they're obviously using higher quality books. So the audio quality is much better. You know, we all remember the days of the dark days of Overdrive and, you know, all that carry on. That's all gone. And those horrible audio quality files that were with it have gone as well. And it's all been replaced and done really well. That the work has been immense to make this happen. Not just, to be fair, not just for the Amazon skill, but also for the Talking Books library overall. So if you get them on Daisy, if you get them downloaded from the Reading Services website. And you know, some people find that difficult, that website hard to navigate. I don't. I find it actually pretty decent. I find it okay to navigate. Some people do find difficulty with it. But, you know, what I love is that now we've got the choice. You can say, well, actually, okay, have you got an Amazon Echo? Try this. And suddenly, bang, you're in. And it's like, wow, that's brilliant. So, you know, so much choice out there, which is absolutely fantastic. It's really nice to get this feedback. But, you know, if you've got a challenge, if there's an issue with it, do tell us. I mean, we're not holding anything back here. If you've got an issue, as you know on this show, we will tell, we will talk about it, and we will pass that on to the relevant team as well. So if you've got a challenge or an issue, then, you know, email us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And if you do email that inbox, I should say this, I don't say this enough, but if you email that inbox and you don't want us to read out your message, but you'd like us to pass your comment on to the relevant department within RNIB, the relevant team, we're more than happy to do that. So if you email in, you know, we will often read out, that it's become a bit of a thing, hasn't it? You know, we just read out the emails that come in because we just, you know, we do tell people that this is the inbox to get in touch with the show. But if you do want to get in touch with us and you don't want us to share your email, you'd rather we share it with someone at RNIB, we'll do that as well. Okay, Andy, let's get another one.
Right, so moving on to other themes. Now, a while back, listener Nadia was having tech issues with the Sky Go app for Android. Really accessible, but it was getting 10 minutes into an episode and then it was cutting out. So I don't know if you remember that email. So off the back of that, we had a reply from a new Peter Oldstock, who says, "Hi guys, I've just heard Andy finally getting round to reading the other half of Nadia's email. In that email, she finishes by mentioning that she'll have to use her crackly landline instead. If her landline is crackling, it could be a sign that her microfilter needs changing. This will also affect the speed of her internet. The microfilter is the small device which plugs into the phone line socket, and then you plug the router into that. And you can purchase them very cheaply on all of the usual websites, and I'm sure her service provider will send some for free if she asks nicely. She may also have received more than one when she received the router, so it's worth checking the box as well." That's some solid advice from Peter.
Yeah, good advice, Peter. And, you know, I think I've heard this before. If there's noise in the line, it does indicate problems that you do have to get checked out. It's best to get in touch with your service provider. I will say, and we're nearly at the end, so I'll say this now. I actually got that information from somebody on my multiplayer Euro Truck Simulator game that I've been playing so much. Oh. I even managed to get emails Andy into. That's how much of this I've been going on about, that he's even got taking part.
Yeah, this has been an in-joke with us for years now, almost. Yeah, Stephen's obsessed with this little truck driving game. And then
it's the only chance I can get to drive, Andy. Don't make light of it.
Yeah. Which is a running theme amongst our audience, because we're just getting more and more people involved as well.
Yeah, we've got Tim Dixon, who listens to us, and he's on Twitter.
Yeah, we managed to get that in.
And we've got Peter, also known as Pi. He's looking into this.
All right, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The
reason why...
I spoke to these two, and I heard... I was speaking to Stephen, and then I heard... Andy here come through on a CB radio.
Oh,
yeah, that was
good.
A little bit geeky. So the game has recently it's recently introduced multiplayer mode, and you can chat to all of your fellow truck drivers through CB radio, and they've made it so that it sounds like CB radio.
Do you know what I love about this? He's doing the advert for me now, which I absolutely love. I don't have to mention it anymore. Andy's doing the sales pitch now. Oh, it's so good.
I hate to admit, but if I hadn't had something else going on that night at my daughter's school, I was going to join you.
Yeah. You would have had a good time. You would have had such a good time. Yeah.
I might have.
I think one day in the future, we're going to make this live somewhere so people can listen in and join in if they want to. Hey, we can
Sean's also with us.
TikTok on the road. How about that?
Sean's with us. He's the little nodding dog on my dashboard.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to take that, if I'm honest, Sean, but, you know, I would take it the spirit is given. Guys, that's it from us for this week. Thank you so much to Tim Schwartz, Emails Andy, and Sean Priest. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.